Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is on vacation right now. We wish her the fanciest of vacations. And speaking of fancy, I got myself a fancy co-host today. I got fancy Brian Kelly here across from me for the first hour of the show today. Hi, Brian Kelly.
Hi, Dilly Ho there, Greg. How's it going, man?
Doing well. We've also got Kelvin on the boards here, the board lord. Holler at your boy.
I'm hollering.
He's hollering, folks.
I love board lord, by the way.
We should get a t-shirt that says that.
I really love board lord.
Yeah, board lord is probably my favorite. And we should have a t-shirt. But speaking of hollering, you can holler at us. Don't holler at us. Just, you know, you can call us. You can text us. Same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also drop a comment on the live stream. And if you feel like you need to send us a message letter style, do it via email. Yeah. By going to janesays@civicmedia.us and drop an email with any questions, comments, or complaints. All complaints send to Calvin, read at the end of every month that ends with the letter Q.
Yeah. So, also, by the way, if you wanted to holla at us, you can send us the holla bread. It's really delicious. Oh, I'm a huge fan.
Don't make me hungry. It's too early.
Great for French toast.
Brian, I'm a little fired up today, but before we talk about why I'm fired up, I want to ask you and Calvin a question. Now, we're around the same age.
Yeah.
You remember growing up and how important music videos were, right? Like MTV.
It was an everyday thing.
And it was an everyday thing. MTV, I'm not going to get in the whole, MTV doesn't play videos anymore. Whatever. I don't care about that. When we were young in the early 80s, like little kids, music videos were everything. My sister had a sleepover and it was all based around the premiere of Michael Jackson's Thriller.
That was a thing.
It was a landmark million-dollar music video that happened, made headlines, still talked about today. Music videos were super important. Then they sort of went away because MTV stopped playing as many music videos, did more TV. VH1, same thing. If you don't know what VH1 is, kids, ask your meemaw. Calvin, what is your relationship to music videos?
Yeah, to me, music videos were always like a thing when you were in high school or college, when you were hanging out in the basement with your friends. The music videos were always something you would go to.
Yeah. So you have a relationship to them too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But it was a more on-demand thing rather than a let's tune into a...
Correct.
Yes.
A specific thing that happens.
Like, yeah. When we were younger, it was like radio where they'd say, coming up soon, the new Huey Lewis in the News video, which for some reason we wanted to watch. I love Huey Lewis in the News. Don't at me.
Also, there's a real reason why I'm a huge Janet Jackson fan, and that was because she had a lot of videos out when I was in my teens.
Yeah. I mean, she's fantastic.
That's the way love goes, my friends.
But you might be like, Greg, why are you starting the discussion about music videos? I'm doing that because a lot of people in the arts, I myself included, I used to be a musician, or I'm still a musician, but I used to play in bands a lot from my teens to my 20s. And then I shifted, started doing comedy. Then I took a little shift, and now I'm in radio, which I'm very, very appreciative of. I don't know about you, Brian, if that's happened for you as far as like your artistic output, where you focused on one thing and then maybe you moved on to another thing.
I focused on everything or nothing, really, really nothing. But I kind of was part of a little bit of everything, in front and behind.
And so I was reading this story about a gentleman, and I felt a connection to him. His name is Robbie Starbuck. Now, I know that sounds like a guy who should have music videos, but in fact, he is a former music video director. Okay. What he is doing now, since he no longer... He directed 77 music videos.
Which back in the day is huge.
Yeah.
Nowadays might be, a kid's summer project. Again, exactly. Production is a little different nowadays.
Exactly. The reason why I bring him up and see like he's taken a shift in his life plan and his career is now his big thing is crushing DEI programs in major corporations.
What?
Doesn't that make sense to you, Brian?
That's a calling.
Some people go from sculpture to clay. Some people go from tennis to maybe soccer. This guy goes from I'm gonna direct music videos for C-level bands, but now I'm gonna also I'm gonna take up the torch of making sure that diversity, equity, inclusion is wiped away from major corporations in America.
Now, I'm trying to think of this in some sort of let's take his point of view rather than trying to fight against it.
Sure,
if I were exposed to that many C-level bands, and you've been around people who are in bands before,
yeah,
I would have a very jaded outlook of, if that's the most amount of people that you are surrounded by all the time, I might be exposed to, you know, perhaps negative thoughts about people.
Well, negative thoughts is a great way of looking at it, because when you go to his Wikipedia page, he's listed as a conservative activist, music video director, and wait for it, conspiracy theorist.
Hey, I am a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. Hi, my name is a conspiracy theorist.
All the theories are conspiracy until I prove them correct.
Is it like a profession, or is that like...
Well, he's making money on it. He's got 500,000 followers on social media, if not more, on all the platforms together. So he goes out and he basically tells people to boycott corporations because they have diversity, equity, inclusion. And for those who don't, I mean, you know, we talk about DEI, but just to give you an idea, diversity, equity, and inclusion is an umbrella term that encompasses people of many backgrounds, identities, and experiences. It aims to create a respectful and fair environment by acknowledging, supporting, and accepting people of all differences. That includes people who are historically underrepresented, such as different races, religious, ethnicities, abilities, genders, sexual orientations. And I actually looked it up. This also includes veterans. Mm-hmm. Robbie Starbucks sees this as the downfall of this country, and he's doing his part by going to major corporations such as, let's see here, Harley Davidson. He's gone to Lowe's. He's gotten, and I shouldn't say he goes to, meets them, shakes a hand. He blasts them on social media.
Oh, he fights against them.
Yeah. You know, he quote unquote exposes their DEI conspiracies and basically has forced hands to getting rid of. So Lowe's, Tractor Supply, Harley Davidson, John Deere, Jack Daniels did it preemptively. He believes otherwise. Calvin, I believe, can you play the Jack Daniels clip for me?
Down Tractor Supply, John Deere, Polaris, Indian Motorcycle, Harley Davidson, and now our very first preemptive strike. Jack Daniels must have known we were coming for them next. We were looking through LinkedIn pages. They probably saw my name, but they announced last night to their company they're getting rid of woke policies. Let me tell y'all, it was a very wise decision of them to cut the woke policies before going through 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of me exposing stuff like this every single day. Here's part of their DEI page on their website before yesterday, and here it is now. So let's jump into what Jack Daniels' parent company has promised to do. They say they are going to cut woke trainings, they're going to end the quantitative workforce and supplier diversity ambitions, which essentially operate as racial quotas, which should never happen no matter what the race is. They're going to end employee and executive DEI bonuses. All bonuses will now be based on performance, the way it should be. And they are ending participation in the HRC's CEI scoring, which stands for Corporate Equality Index. That scoring system is responsible for forcing wokeness into the workplace. It is essentially forced social activism. Yes. If a company wants a 100% CEI score, they have to pay for transitions. They have to pay for puberty blockers for kids. They have to support men and women's bathrooms. They have to.
Yeah. So he likes to congratulate himself for doing that. He said that Jack Daniels is, he saw them, they saw him coming. So they scrapped their DEI program before it was too, because this multi-billion dollar corporation couldn't handle the anti-woke crusade that is Robbie Starbuck.
Wow, he's an intense guy. How do you? I hate woke. What is it? People get so mad about wokeism. They get so angry about it.
Well, yeah, they do, because they I don't think they truly understand what it means. First of all, I did some research, because it only literally took 2 Google searches to see what he was talking about. First of all, the HRC program they're talking about does not force companies to pay for transitions. They want you to have healthcare programs that are trans inclusive, which is where healthcare programs are going anyways, because trans people are real people and they're happening in this world, and you can't really deny their existence. Well, you can if you're Robbie Starbuck and all these other idiots we're talking about. But the whole thing is, he's talked about DEI bonuses. I don't really believe that's a thing either, because it's not, he didn't read those off their web pages. He called them DEI bonuses. And he also said racial quotas. This is not a racial thing. DEI is, race is a component of DEI. But as I just read, there are many other individual groups that fall under the DEI umbrella. They're just so very afraid of equality and equity. He'd go as far as saying equity is a socialist, communist word?
Well, first of all, when people start thinking that equality or equity means that something is being taken away from them, it kind of proves the point of the need for equality and equity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because if you think that if people being on an equal basis as you, or an equity-based, you know, program as you, and you are feeling like you are being taken away from, it kind of proves that they don't have what you have.
Well, and all, yeah, I think you're absolutely right as far as the notion of the world is changing. The control they had is it's not even going away. Last time I checked, like, rich people and white people, and now total transparency, Robbie Starbuck identifies as a Latino man, hates the term Latinx, hates it. But the control really isn't going away that much, to the point where we need to worry about wokeism getting into the corporate boardroom. And also, if these companies, in my opinion, now let me repeat those companies, John Deere, Harley Davidson, Jack Daniels, Lowe's, Tractor Supply, Polaris, when they scrapped those DEI programs, my guess is they really didn't care that much about them in the first place. When you are led to believe that a social media influencer is going to, you know, take a bite out of your corporate income earnings, I just don't believe it.
Yeah, they're not going to. On top of that, Jack Daniels, I think their preemptive strike was to go and stop their employees from finding out their actual origins of their name, because that's an appropriation.
Well, you know, they don't ever want to tell the history. Well, we want a certain history, and we want a history that's anti-woke, Brian. And we're going to keep this conversation going with my guest co-host, Mr. Fancy Brian Kelly, producer, and I would say, are you co-host?
I'm a co-host. I'm the salt to her delicious meal.
There it is, on the Maggie Dawn Show, which is two to four every day on Civic Media. Right now, you're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Tom from LA, I see you on the phone. Stick around. I'll cut to you in a moment. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation, and we hope she is, in fact, vacating. I may or may not have a message from Jane Matt and Air to read to the audience tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
I know. It's just a little, you know. I told her not to call or text. I told her to really vacate.
Did she send it in a bottle?
I wish she didn't. Not a bottle of Jack Daniels, that's for sure. All right. So if that makes nothing to you, that means we were talking about the fact that certain corporations, in the face of influencer boycott, have decided to scrap their DEI programs, which I believe they never really wanted in the first place. But that's for other people to decide. Smarter people, I guess. I'm joined by Fancy Brian Kelly, who is, as I believe, what was it? Andrew in Maine said, Fancy Brian Kelly is Frank's hot sauce to Maggie's General Tso's chicken. So go see a doctor for your stomach issues. We also have the board lord, Calvin, on the board, so doing the ones and the twos. I can't believe I said that. But we're talking about DEI. We're talking about influencing their influence over corporations, crushing their DEI programs. And now I think that's ridiculous. But we got Tom from LA on the phone right now. Tom, what's going on, friend?
Hey, guys. First, DEI, as far as I know, stands for Donald, Ivanka, and Eric. Donald, Eric, and Ivanka, actually, is DEI. Mm-hmm. That's how they actually got their job. So when people talk about DEI, that's what they mean. And not to go off the topic, but JD Vance really seems to have
Tom.
Yes.
What's okay? All right, go ahead, talk. But we were on the topic of DEI, so.
Yeah, so that's why I said Donald, Eric, and Ivanka.
Yeah.
Because they're D David. Okay, you got it.
I got the joke, buddy. I've seen the memes. Okay.
All right, good. But he has the preoccupation with the word hell. Tells his kid to shut the hell up.
Okay.
Tells Kamala Harris yesterday she's going to hell.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that he might be a real good friend of Satan, actually, and maybe the Antichrist.
Okay. All right, Tom. I appreciate the call in, man. Thank you very much. Sorry.
You know what was really fun? When I was first getting a job around here, I also, toured around the state, had a couple other job interviews, and I went through Green Bay, listened to a whole bunch of different, a different array of different AM stations, yeah, just in case I got on anything. And I happened upon several different Christian talk show hosts talking about Donald Trump being the Antichrist and that being a good thing, because finally we're going to have rapture and we're going to see, the second coming. We'll be living to see that. And that was the sentiment back in 16.
And that is for our Sunday show.
I know.
Yeah. We're going to be
trying to tie it back in.
I appreciate that. Calvin, you had some thoughts on Monsieur Robbie Starbuck.
Yeah. So I thought, I'll look up and see if he's directed any music videos or artists that I would recognize.
That was my next question.
I saw Snoop Dogg on that list.
He's a feature of an artist I didn't recognize. So I'm guessing that artist just paid Snoop Dogg the money to be on the song.
Oh, absolutely. That's
beside the point.
Yeah. Cameo is a hell of a thing, guys.
Yeah.
But I didn't recognize anything until I got towards the end and I noticed some interesting things. And I will say they were paying him. It's a job. I'm not connecting him to these artists,
yeah,
in terms of controversy. But I'll go from like least controversial to most controversial from what I have recognized. He did a video for Megadeth. I'm not super familiar with any controversies about them, but there's probably
a little controversy.
I'll bet you
that, want to let it go.
I'll bet you any amount of money he and Dave Mustaine had some long conversations about things your uncles agree on.
Yeah. And then he did a music video for Akon, which
rapper.
Yeah. Akon's okay. An interesting character. He has some sexual misconduct allegations and that type of thing.
So he works for a niche group.
Yeah. And then he did a video for Machine Gun Kelly, most famous for being engaged to Megan Fox and saying he didn't care that Kylie Jenner was 16 years old when he was 23.
I mean, not for nothing too. He also said he could out rap Eminem as well. So, I mean,
yeah, that's
Eminem forced Machine Gun Kelly out of the rap business and into whatever he's doing now. Yeah. It seems like thank you, Calvin. It seems like Robbie Starbuck has a clientele.
Yeah. I actually have one more.
Oh, sure.
This is the most odd and definitely controversial. He did a music video for someone named Jeffree Star, who is an online influencer who, he's a man, I guess he almost dresses up in drag. He does his long nails, makeup, that kind of thing, and that's his niche. But he has been canceled several times.
Apparently not.
Well, yeah, for sexual assault and that kind of thing. So yes, he does have very odd connections.
Robbie surrounds himself with some interesting characters. We'll just say that. He also said of DEI programs that they are evil and are a Trojan horse for pushing leftism. Now, going back to what you said earlier, Brian, about the term woke, we could talk about that for 5 hours. It goes back to the 30s, comes from I believe it's a Leadbelly song, which is the first mention of the word. And it was back then, stay awake, stay woke of what's going on around you. Be aware of the systems around you. That is what woke is. And then one day, some failed GOP whomever, probably Ron DeSantis, picked that word up, dusted it off, and say, I'm going to ruin this for everyone. And they have been for the past few years. And anytime they don't like something, it's woke.
Yeah, and it's undefined. It's whatever you think is bothering you or keeping you back as a aggrieved white person,
yeah,
in their minds. And it completely has been conflated to the point where it doesn't mean anything but something negative.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been absolutely trounced and ruined. And I mean, I don't know anybody who is legitimately woke in the sense of the definition who actually says they are,
no,
or at least anymore.
No.
But people who, quite frankly, are not are like, I'm woke. But, no, you're not. But
pretty much anyone who said, hey, I'm woke, I've always said, sure.
And I don't know if this is going to keep people from shopping at these places. But my whole belief system on this is that DEI was something these corporations begrudgingly did to make themselves look good. And now that they have a reason not to do it, they're like, oh, we'll get rid of them. And people are going to be upset, but they get to move on and still make hundreds of millions, if not billions, a year.
It makes more sense to do so for people to have people of different backgrounds. In fact, we have lauded it by one of the most Republican of presidents, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
He had a team of rivals, people with different ideas. And imagine, oh my goodness, if you extend that to cultural and racial and gender and different ideas, maybe you have all the best ideas in the room rather than just a few.
Nope. They'd rather look at it as, I like the way things are. I don't want anything to be equal. I don't want equality. And Andrew on the live stream brought something up. Equality and equity are two separate things.
That's true.
We can go on. We could go on that, but we're gonna move on now. We're gonna take ourselves a little break. We're gonna get a snack, some water, stay hydrated. Even though it's not as hot as it was earlier this week, gotta stay hydrated, friends. We're gonna keep it here with Fancy Brian Kelly, and I want to talk to you about your experience in a very specific union.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. So we're gonna keep that conversation going on the unions. If you have experience in the unions, whatever it is, please give us a call 855-752-8484-2855-Civic. We'd love to hear from you. Drop a comment in the live stream. Call or text. We want to hear from you, friends. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and we are on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation. We got Fancy Brian Kelly across from me at the table. He's my guest co-host this morning. And we also have the board lord, Calvin B. How you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing fantastic, Greg.
That's good. I'm always happy when Calvin's doing well, because I don't want him to do bad on my watch.
Yeah, and he does a great job.
He does.
So having him in a good mood is a really good thing.
I buy him fantasy books. I'm like, here, just be my friend. That's what I do.
That's
like,
one of my favorite things I buy as well.
My love with people. But we love that's you. Good. We'd love to hear from you, folks. As we said earlier before, we're going to be talking a little bit about Brian's experience in the union. If you have union experience, union comments, questions, anything like that, give us a call. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to hear from you. Drop a comment on the live stream. Give us a text. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. By the way, Sherry from Horicon, one of our biggest fans. Good morning, Greg and Calvin and friends. And then follows it up with, hi, Fancy Brian.
Hi, Sherry. She says hi every day. And
she
I don't
does. Know, every show.
I don't always get to say hi back. And I just want to say hi, hello, yeah. How are you? And times 1,000, you're great, Sherry.
Yes, exactly. I feel the exact same way. I'm like, oh, Sherry's right there. Hello, Sherry.
I'm hugging you with my words from here.
There we go. Now, Brian, I talked to you earlier about this, and I said, do you have any thoughts on unions, a union experience? And you just looked at me, yeah, I'm in a union. I said, what union? Brian, what union are you in?
I've been a proud SAG member since 2001.
Now, we have talked a lot about farmers unions and teachers unions and, you know, those unions that really affect Wisconsin. And I don't know if I've ever, I've talked to SAG members, but I've never had a conversation with someone about SAG. Tell us about SAG.
SAG is the Screen Actors Guild. It's now SAG-AFTRA. It used to be separate. It was SAG, and then there was AFTRA, and they merged right about the time that I joined the union.
Okay.
I was a part of SAG, and then I, by de facto, became a part of AFTRA, the American Federation of Theater and Radio Artists. So it basically encompasses performers and the entertainment industry, make sure that we don't get taken advantage of, because I always say, when we talk about Harvey Weinstein and horrible things, absolutely horrible things, but the metaphor also extends to me, because I would have done any of that too to become a star at one point in my life too. And so these union, and I'm using that as an extreme example, but the idea is that actors themselves just want to be on stage.
Yeah.
We just want to create. And I didn't get into it because of the money. If I went into it because of the money, I'd be a fool, because you just really don't. But the union allows people to actually make money at it, yeah, and use it as an art form. Most people in Chicago I know are union carrying members, and they're also part of the stage union as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they do plays, and then they sometimes supplement that with their stage stuff or for their film stuff, and both are protected by unions, and that makes sure that you're not there for more than 8 hours. You're not there, and if you do, you get paid correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's prohibitive for someone to do a marathon session, because after 8 hours, you get overtime. After 12 hours, you get time and a half. After 16 hours, you get a day every hour. It's amazing.
Wow.
And these are all negotiated. But these are also things like our entire, you may have noticed that the writer's strike happened. There was also a SAG strike at the same time. This is because, I'm sorry, there's a lot of things going on. So I'm fire hosing right now. The whole issue is that our entire medium is changing. As you know, us radio artists are now we're on live stream, we're on camera. So
this wasn't a part of my deal.
Yeah. So we're on camera right now.
Yeah.
So the entire medium is changing, and the way people get paid is changing too. I don't know if you noticed this, but cable is going away. It's going to be going away.
They always say that, but
it's slowly going away.
Yeah.
I promise you this. And people, there's less roles in sitcoms. There's less roles on regular TV shows because they make one-offs. They make whole seasons. They produce things. The way things are made is different. And without a union negotiating, mm-hmm, and being on top of that, we're going to easily get taken advantage of, because up until this point, it was like straight up buyouts for things that are online, or if a movie was made for an online presence, but also there's no ticket sales attached to that anymore. So you're not making as much money on that end, but you're making money on the advertising streaming end. So it's protecting you. On top of that, every single big production, every single movie, we're talking about music videos. If they're of any sort of budget whatsoever, you are incorporating not just the SAG unions, you're incorporating the Writers Guild, you're incorporating the Directors Guild, and you're also incorporating Yahtzee, which is all of the trades.
Yeah.
You got every single movie that has a union on it has tradespeople. Lots of tradespeople.
And you want to know how many? Stick around for the end of a movie. It's like if you're watching a Marvel movie, just wait for the end before the post credits come on. You're going to see all of these logos, anywhere between 5 to 6 to 7, and that represents all of the unions who are working on that production, who are all protected by contracts that are defended by their union higher-ups, too. I mean, that's what I wanted to talk about, too, is like, I feel like when it comes to SAG-AFTRA or WGA or WDA, there can be a disconnect because, you know, I mean, I'm Wisconsin, that's Hollywood. What does that have to do with me? But there has something to do with us, because when a union is strong, no matter what they do, it influences the power for other unions.
For
so
sure.
if you know, maybe there's a teachers union who says like, oh my gosh, look at what the writers are doing in Hollywood right now. They are striking, and maybe we can talk to them, work with them, or at least like copycat some of the things they're doing to help us build a stronger presence and a better contract for our people. So, you know, it's not just about Hollywood versus the regular people. It's about what you do, Brian Kelly, sitting in front of me, a guy I can text on the phone right now and say, hey, what's going on? You are in the Screen Actors Guild, and that union has power, and it's important that it does, and that it protects you, especially someone like you. And I don't want to insult you, but like,
you
have a Brad Pitt or a Julia Roberts or a Denzel Washington or anybody else. They not only have their union, but they have their lawyers, their publicists. Mm-hmm. They have an army of people who can protect them, whereas you don't have those things at your disposal. So that union is there to help you specifically.
Yeah. And I also want to add on those people that the Tom Hanks, the Brad Pitts, them getting a whole bunch of money,
mm-hmm,
means that my union gets a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
Because they contribute, our contributions are solely based on how much we make.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, there's a minimum.
Yeah.
But there are years when I make a whole bunch of money doing some movies and stuff,
mm-hmm,
that I pay more in dues. So that means that Tom Hanks pays a whole bunch of dues.
So the question I have for you is, let's say, you know, 2023 was a great year. You worked on a bunch of projects, made X. So you give a percentage of X. Mm-hmm. Let's say 2024, not so much. Let's say you actually, like, you get hurt or sick and you can't work the whole year. Does the union say to you, well, you didn't pay this year, so you're out? Or do they say, because of extenuating circumstances?
Fun fact. That's exactly happening now. And I'm behind on my dues. And
fancy Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I know. I have to, guys, I'm going to pay them. Yeah. I've never not paid them. But they are extremely they're very flexible and understanding.
Yeah.
And especially with the 20-year history, they're pretty cool with me. But they also, you know, have programs, because our union is strong and our union is well-funded. They have programs for people who don't get, you know, who don't get the work, or have a rough year, who have problems. They will help you. They have direct programs to help you out. It's pretty awesome. I have support everywhere I go, and there's union offices all over the place.
If you're just joining us right now, I'm talking to our fancy co-host this morning, Mr. Fancy Brian Kelly. He's talking to us about his experience in the union, specifically SAG-AFTRA, Screen Actors Guild. And what did AFTRA stand for again?
American Federation of Theater and Radio Artists.
And we're talking about the importance of union, because we have Labor Day weekend coming up, and we, mm-hmm. you know, we here at Civic Media and Matt and Aaron Air, we recognize and love the work that unions do for the people. And I'm wondering, Brian, like, you know, when you see anti-union sentiment, like the typical, you know, rhetoric of people who are against the unions, as a union member who is not, like, you know, a trucker, a teamster, or a mm-hmm. teacher, you know, that has to raise your hackles too, because it's, you know, you're a union guy, and what they generally say isn't true either.
Not all the time. Cause a lot of the sentiment now is generalized, but mm-hmm. most of those people who have those anti-union sentiments have specific stories that are specific to the union they were a part of that completely snowballed them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to discount their experience of that union, because I'm not telling you that all unions have been perfect, and boy, have there been some issues.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's been some corruption, but I think there's been some corruption in a lot of different places. But that's also why union membership and union participation is extremely important. Mm-hmm. It's going to those union meetings are boring. They're boring. And my buddy's he is a secretary in the firefighters union back in Chicago. And he's like, getting these people to do anything is like pulling teeth. He's like, I'm trying to help you. Yeah. I'm literally trying to help you. And they're like, but meh. And it can be a very trying and hard thing for people to experience. So a lot of times people have negative experiences of unions. And I can understand that, but I'm going to tell you that no matter what, you're better off for having a union backing you, because you don't have your own. I can't go to a movie set and say, hey, I can't do this. But if I call my union rep and say, hey, they're doing this to me, that union rep is probably usually on set. But if not, they can go and back me up, and I have the backing of an entire mountain of people to go and take care of me. It's a lot more. It's a lot more fun on set too, because mm-hmm. you know exactly what your job is. You're not being asked to do things you're not normally supposed to do. Yeah. Everybody has their assigned roles. And again, although it's weird that I can't move a chair, and like, cause I'm a big dude and I want to move everything and help people out.
Yeah.
It also covers liability. Cause if I decide to strain myself moving that chair, who let that person have that chair? It's defining. It helps, and it protects you.
Yeah.
And it feels protective.
And that those are all through lines that apply to all the unions.
Yes.
Discussions I've been having, which is a fantastic thing. We're going to throw it to the phones. Jack from Merrimack is on lines right now. What say you, our friend Jack?
Well, for about 40 years, I was a member of the, they call it the Teachers Union, Wisconsin Education Association, and mm-hmm. also the National Education Association. This is probably the NEA and WA were two of the most democratic organizations I have ever seen. I was elected a couple of times to be a delegate. One year I was in Washington, D.C. and actually spoke As just an ordinary teacher, I wasn't at the time. I had been vice president of our local, and I had, you know, I'd been active in our local politics. But I got to speak basically in front of a group of 10,000 teachers regarding a topic of science and science education. I won't go into the detail, but it was a great organization to be part of, so was the WEA until Act 10 came along.
Yes,
and
of course.
And yeah. When that essentially destroyed that unit, the teachers' organizations, by basically saying, "Yep, the only thing you can really negotiate for is your salary, conditions of employment, nah, benefits, no." So what happened then was that teachers were actually required, I think, in that particular law to pay more for, in many cases, more for our benefits, dental and medical insurance. Basically had no control over our conditions of employment. So all of a sudden, there were morning meetings that started at an hour before school started, which was normally when I got there for prep time.
And, Jack, I'm sorry to cut you off, buddy. There, we're coming up against a break, but I appreciate your calling and letting us know. We will be covering that on Monday with our pre-recorded episode with my interview with Kristen Leidy, talking about WEAC, NEA, and what Act 10 and 32 did to the teachers. Jack, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. This is Greg Bach sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation, and I'm sitting next to Fancy Brian Kelly, who is my guest co-host this morning. On the boards is Captain Boardlord himself. That's right. I updated you to Captain Boardlord. That is a promotion. And I don't know if they would be upset, but we could just let that song play for the next 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, it's
slap it a BS.
Slap it a BS.
Yeah.
We are talking about unions with Brian Kelly, who is a member of SAG-AFTRA, talking about not just the uniqueness of being a part of the Screen Actors Guild, but also how his experiences in that union translates to what would be considered like blue collar unions, you know, the teachers, Teamsters, how the actions within one can help all and create more and, you know, protect the working people, protect the working class, something politicians love to talk about, the working class, the middle class. It's just, it's all for them until they have to vote on a bill, which gives them tax breaks and ability to buy up stocks or before we know about it. We got a text on the from Anne listening to WAUK saying, unfortunately, Walker destroyed our union and gave more power to the top. And unfortunately, at our district, our superintendent stole money from our small district, greed at the top. Our students suffered, and so did raises to our older staff. A couple of things about that. First of all, Anne, thank you so much for telling us this.
Yep.
We appreciate you reaching out. Jack, I want to just thank you again for calling before. I apologize for cutting you off. Fortunately, we have the hard breaks here at WAUK. But also, if you're interested more on this, the Monday episode we'll be doing will be a pre-recorded. I won't be here. Calhoun won't be here doing the show with me. We're going to have different conversations. And one of the conversations I have right up top of the show is with Kristen Leidy, who is an organizing director for WEAC, which is Wisconsin Educational Association Council. And she talks about this in greater detail as far as Act 10 and 32. And, you know, the devastation it caused, the fact that teachers can only negotiate salaries, and that is to inflation. There's a little, you know, hullabaloo in there as well, but also, you know, a little bit of a bright spot on the horizon as well, possibly with, especially with, you know, flip governorship, flip Supreme Court, fairer maps. So you want to check out that episode. That's going to be same time, 10 a.m. to noon, but it's going to be all new and old interviews with union individuals talking about their experiences in the union and helping you to appreciate those on Labor Day. So we were talking about SAG-AFTRA, and you know, I asked you before, Brian, that with regard to naysayers and anti-union sentiment, I say that, and I want to be honest with everyone. My father was a Teamster. He was a union truck driver, and he didn't really like it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a fan, and he was not that he wasn't a fan of the people who worked at the union. He just felt like, I come in, I do my work, I go home, and that's it. I should be getting paid. You know, he felt like he had like those cliched notions of a union. And I, in turn, growing up, felt that way about them. Not because I was very educated on the matter, just because my dad said so.
Yeah. That's a lot of people.
And it took me a long...
Especially in this city as well.
Yeah, and it took me a long, long time to get out of that mode of thing. I still believe that hard work deserves correct pay, and I believe that hard work deserves, you know, being felt like you are valued. But I also know now that when you're in a union, your hard work can get you paid, and you have someone behind you, an advocate. That's important.
I guess that's the key about unions, is that a lot of the benefits are inherent and not actively felt. Yeah. Meaning that the reason that you're making the money that you make and the money that you can make is because your union is strong and demands that wages. Mm-hmm. But they're not actively doing so. And so when you get like a 25-cent raise, it seems like, oh, great, they did something. But they've been fighting for that for like years, and you on your own would not be able to have possibly gotten that. And by the way, that you got that for everybody you work with.
Yeah.
Makes it easier for you to get more employees in. And our caller, Jack, mentioned Act 10. That destroyed the power of the teachers' unions. Over the past 10, 15 years, we've also seen a teacher exodus, and our quality of education has gone down. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you the same people who are pushing for Act 10 are the same people going, why are our schools messed up? And on top of that, and you mentioned the superintendent embezzling some funds or taking some funds, I bet you that you also voted on a bill to add taxes to yourselves to fund your schools more. Yeah. Because people do that around this state almost everywhere.
And we talked about that with Kristen Lighty as well. And yeah. And honestly, I made mention, and I'll give you a preview. I used to work in I worked in the public sector in small government. I worked in Racine. I worked for the city hall. And when Act 10 and 32 came down, two things happened. It affected us as well. It decimated the teachers, and that was the main focus, as it should have been. But for me, I got a 5.2% pay cut because of it. They gave me a 2.6% raise to stem the tide, quote unquote, which didn't really help. It was still nearly 5% or 6% pay cut. But then, just like teachers, there was a mass exodus of city employees. They wanted to get out while the getting was good because they didn't know where it was going next.
Yep.
Because the unions were basically being gutted. And so they're like, well, I've got 40 years in. I'm going to take my lifetime health insurance. I'm going to take my pension before you guys start to reinvest it in private funds and things like that. So it's, even though I wasn't a union member at that job, I still was protected in a way.
Yeah.
And they told me that it's like, your job is a non-rev job because you work where you work, but you still have the protections. When we fight for us, we're fighting for you as well. I was very lucky. And I think that's one of my old ways of the union started to melt away. I'm like, oh, this is actually important and good.
When they're active and they're present, you really don't feel them as much.
Yeah.
But when they're pulled away, sure as hell you feel they're lack. They're missing.
And you feel it when they're fighting for you, too.
Yes, for sure.
They're waiting for the moment. And when you call them, they're there, and they're always there to help.
I want to also bring up the, you know, the deaths in the prisons that have, I mean, we just locked up a warden for causing death in prisons. A lot of that was because, guess what? Nobody wants to work for the state anymore. And prison guards are state employees, and they get paid for crap. And half the reason why the inmates are on 23-hour lockdowns is because they don't have enough employees.
Yeah.
So you can almost say that Act 10 directly caused the deaths of all those inmates because of negligence, lack of staffing, and lack of support.
And we're going to leave that conversation right there. Thank you, Brian, for talking to me about that. Are you going to stick around for a little bit longer?
Mommy, I got you.
All right. Fancy Brian Kelly's going to stick around for another segment. When we come back, we're going to be talking about price gouging and corporations who admit to doing it. Go take a break, get some water, get a snack. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close, stick around. You are amazing.